here, Place Dell. I'm not sure whether many of you remember us. I know one gentleman, a few of them there remember us. And it's good to be back. For the last 15 years, when we've ever come home on furlough, we have just taken a very short time, usually no more than a month or 6 weeks. This time we're taking a little longer. And after we leave Pennsylvania, we go back to California to our other daughter's place, and then back to the Philippines, Lord willing, on December the 6th. Earlier this morning, a comment was made that you weren't sure how I met my wife. Well, I'll give you a little background. Mm-hmm. Ruth was commended from the Erie Assembly and two other assemblies to go to the Philippines to teach at Faith Academy, School for Missionary Kids. That was in 1968, I also was commended, but didn't go to the Philippines until 1969. And I went out from New Zealand, from the assemblies in New Zealand, to do church planting. I being single and Ruth being single, you know what happened? Man meets woman, falls in love, and as they say, that's the rest of the story. But we've been serving the Lord together in the Philippines for the last 36 plus years, and it's been a joy to serve Him there. Later on tonight, Lord willing, we will share with you a little bit about the work that we're involved in, and probably give you a chance to ask some questions about the ministry that we are trying to carry on for the Lord in the Philippines at this stage. In the work in the Philippines, and as I look around and have had opportunity to travel to a number of other countries, I have discovered that there are very few men who really are concerned about studying the Word of God. We read it, and perhaps we think that our obligation has been fulfilled, but I believe that there is more to it. In the Philippines in particular, we have a great lack of Bible teachers. Filipinos, generally speaking, are good evangelists. And we appreciate our co-workers. We have about 70 commended Filipino workers that are working with us in different areas in the country. The majority of them would be evangelists. I think perhaps if I were to really look hard at them, of those 75, maybe, were good Bible teachers. So there is a crying need for Bible teachers. And also in our own countries, there is this need to have those that not only read the Word of God, but they go a step further, they study it, and then naturally, as followers of the Lord, we apply it to our hearts. Apply it to our lives. And then we take that word that we have applied to our lives and we go and we teach others concerning the Word of the Lord. I'd like to read this morning from Ezra chapter 7. I find that one of the best methods of teaching Scripture in our home Bible studies is to take character study. And I was quite encouraged when I read these verses concerning Ezra. If we were to go back to the beginning of the book, we would find that, if you're having a little trouble finding it, it's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Joel, Psalms. Okay, so before you get to Psalms. It's just a small book, but it has a lot of truth for us. And it so happened in the beginning of the book that Jerusalem was starting to be rebuilt. We know that Jerusalem was virtually wiped off the map, and then a decree was given that Jerusalem should be rebuilt. And a few people who were opposed to this rebuilding project wrote to King Darius and asked him if there was a decree to that manner, a decree authorizing the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And we find that Darius replies that there was a decree. He had searched the scriptures, as he searched the scrolls, Now the records of the empire and found that this was so. Ezra chapter 7 verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. And some of the sons of Israel, and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants, went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was of the seventh year of the king. And on the first of the first month he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem. Quite a long journey that he took, 4 months, to get to Jerusalem. They didn't fly in Boeing 777s in those days, and they were not Mercedes cars. I'll be better saying that for the American cars, because that's what we need to support right now, right? So, 4 months, he came to Jerusalem. The scriptures clearly tell us that this happened because the good hand of his God was upon him. And then we find the secret to the success of Ezra. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. The Lord bless us. The reason of his word. We probably are familiar with Ezra. We had done a study of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we have the record of Nehemiah going back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls, and bringing some sort of war and order to the city. When the walls were completed, Ezra, the priest, the prophet, the scribe, came and turned the hearts of the people back to the Lord. His name means a help. And he helped Nehemiah in the restoration of putting the word of God to the center of the lives of the children of Israel. For many years, they had forgotten the word of God. They had put it aside. They weren't reading it. They weren't studying it. They weren't practicing it. And Ezra comes along and he draws their attention to the fact that they have neglected the word of the Lord. And he draws them back there and he reads. You read in Nehemiah, you have the story there of him standing up before the people and reading on and on and on scriptures. Now we have an attention span of about 10 minutes, most of us these days, but it was hours that they came together and they read the word of God, the word of the Lord. And as a result of this, the hearts of the people were changed. And we will also find here in the book of Ezra that their hearts were changed, because Ezra was a man who not only preached the word of God, but he practiced it, and then he taught others. You need to study the word of God. Ezra, recorded as the scribe. When I think of a scribe, I think of somebody sitting probably some sort of a table, meticulously copying word for word, or taking word for word dictation to write. Right in the scrolls, the records of things that have taken place. But not only to inscribe or to record, but there was also a sense of celebration. The scribe was there to keep the records, as it were, but to bring about a sense of celebration for the people as they listened to the word of God. Right from the beginning, the introduction of Ezra here, we find that he was a man skilled in the laws of Moses, basically the first 5 books of our Old Testament. He knew them word for word. He studied it. He was diligent in this task of understanding, reading, and studying the word of the Lord. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but they tell me that if we were to look into a Hebrew Bible, we would find that the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. And it would seem that Ezra is a continuation of 2 Chronicles, where it is the verses completed in chapter 1 and verse 1 of Ezra. Chapter 7 through 9 contains Ezra's first-hand account of what took place in Israel. The theme of his book could be God used pagan kings and godly leaders to restore his people by reinstituting temple worship and reviving the law of Moses. And as you look at the record of how Ezra came to Jerusalem, it wasn't because something just automatically happened. It wasn't because he was such a spiritual guy. But God spoke to the king, King Artaxerxes, and the king gave Ezra the authority and the responsibility to go back to Jerusalem. God works in mysterious ways. We think that sometimes that the working of God is restricted to those who have a close relationship with him. But Artaxerxes, and if we go back to King Darius and back further, we will find that through the history of the people of Israel, God, through different ways, different means, used these pagan kings to bring about restoration. And we find that this is taking place here. Perhaps we could say that his theological focus was God accomplishes his will through different human agents.
I don't know if some know where they were for the 7 years.
Where they're coming from. They're coming from Babylon. 70 years they had been taken out of the land. This was the result of their sin, and God had promised them that they would be removed from the land. They were removed, and now they're coming back to the land, back to Jerusalem, the land that God had promised Abraham and his followers, his descendants. So we find here that they have come back, and in the record that we just read together, he came back from Babylon, 4 months journey, walking all the way, tremendous journey. If you look at Nehemiah and read of his account, how he came through different areas and the hardships that he endured, we find that God's hand was upon him. So they're back in the land. We find here in this book a statement that is repeated time and time again. And Ezra, in his recording the events that took place, always gave recognition to his God, the graciousness of God, God's mercy, God's, as we were thinking of this morning in our worship time, in our remembrance time, the loving kindness of God. Because in verse 6 it says, in the latter portion of the verse, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Then you go down verse 9 and the latter portion, because of the good hand of his God was upon him. And then over in chapter 7, chapter 8, we find that this is repeated time and time again, that the good hand of the Lord his God was upon him. And because of this, he was able to accomplish great things for the Lord. The question is Ezra any different to you or I? Can we have this same relationship? Can we go from here this morning and say that the good hand of the Lord is upon us? I believe we can. I don't believe that this is for a special, select group of people. But it is an offer that God grants to those to seek to follow him. And Ezra, throughout his life, followed the Lord. God called and protected Ezra. He protected him by having his good hand upon him. We find here that in the different agencies that God used, he used the Persian government, which is the government of Iran today, to enable him to accomplish his task. What a fantastic thing that this would happen in our day and age, that the government in Iran, who are completely against Christianity and are putting people to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, our God. But in the days gone by, it was this agency, the Iranian people, the Persians, as they were called in the Old Testament times, God enabled Israel to carry out his will. God accomplished his purpose through the special spokespeople. He was a man. He's recorded here as a scribe. But he's also a priest. And the priest's responsibilities were twofold. One was to mediate between God and man. He was to go into the presence of God, to speak on behalf of God. But he was also there to officiate in the religious ceremonies that God had ordained for the people of Israel. He was a priest who studied the word of the Lord. He spent time in the scriptures. And I think perhaps this is the greatest need in the Church of God today. Men in particular, taking time out to study the word of God. It's not just a devotional time where we read a short portion of scripture and maybe a little commentary that goes through it. In the Philippines, part of my responsibilities as a Philippine representative for Radio Bible Talk, I'm sure you're familiar with the book, Daily Bread, the devotional book. One of the things we found in the Philippines was that the majority of Filipinos read the devotional, but they never read the scriptures. And I would suggest to you that's not only a problem in the Philippines, but also in the other places in the world today. So we sort of compromised a little bit. We have a little bit of more liberty in the Philippines because we are such a large ministry with regular Bible class, serving printing over 500,000 copies for the Philippines, so no problem. So we have got a new edition where we have the scripture there with the reading for the day as well as the devotional. This is a help, but it's not the final answer because you're not interested in the Word of God itself and studying it on the Bible. Okay, so we learned a little bit about Ezra, the man. That's a good clock up there. I think we'll follow that one. 20 after 5. Very good. Have we had breakfast yet? Let's think of Ezra and his mandate. What was his mandate? What was his responsibility? The responsibility given by King Artaxerxes was that he was to go to Jerusalem. And there were certain things that he was to do. In chapter 7 and verse 18, we find here that whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do with the rest of the gods, the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. So he had been entrusted with silver and gold to be taken back to Jerusalem to be used in their worship. Well, to be used, doesn't tell us here. But this would speak to us of his trustworthiness. King Artaxerxes would never have entrusted this gold and silver to him if he didn't trust the guy. And we need people who are like Ezra here, trustworthy. Whatever God has given to us, whatever has been committed to us, we use it in a way that will honor God. Artaxerxes' trust was complete. He said, "And you may do according to the will of your God." Verse 23, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven, lest there be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. Do whatever is commanded by your God. Artaxerxes recognized that Ezra had a special relationship and he knew what God wanted him to do. This would speak to us of integrity. This man of integrity. He was a man who could stand up and direct the people without any, as it were, back chat, without any criticism, because they could look at the life of Ezra and see that he was a man of integrity. He was to appoint magistrates and judges, that they were to judge all the people in verse 25. And you, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges, that they might judge all the peoples who are in the province beyond the river, even all of those who know the laws of your God. And you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them, and whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him strictly, whether for death or for banishment or for confiscation of goods or for imprisonment. Ezra was to appoint the judges. It's clear here that it was because of the wisdom that he had. Wisdom that came from God. And then he was to teach. He was to teach anyone who did not know the laws of our God. This would teach and speak to us of knowledge. So there are four important things that we see here in his life. He was trustworthy. He was a man of integrity, a man of wisdom, and a man of knowledge. And he took these attributes, these characteristics, and he used them for God. I believe in the Christian church today, we need men who are men of integrity. Men who are trustworthy. Filipinos generally say they'll promise you almost the world, but when it comes to actually carrying out their promise, it doesn't happen too often. But is that a problem only in the Philippines? I don't think so. Yes, I'll be there. There was an announcement concerning the cleaning of the chapel a couple of weeks. Yeah, I'll be there. And then, perhaps for some reason or another, we don't show up. I don't know. But I've seen this happen many times before. So his mandate was to go back, to teach, to appoint judges, to do whatever God commanded, to do whatever seemed good to him. It wasn't for personal gain, but because he had walked with God. Then we see his ministry. Ezra's ministry. And the basis of this, perhaps we could say, was he was a man who loved the Word of God. I know it's difficult for us to read the scriptures. We can find so many reasons why we don't. And I'm speaking to myself just as much as anybody else. It's easier to sit down and watch a football game. And the Bills playing today? Who knows? I don't. But they are, okay.
You got to dress warm, real warm.
Yeah, okay. These things become a challenge to us. What is my priority? I believe in sports. I have no problem with sports. Nothing is wrong. But there is a time when we have to make a judgment call. Where is the line drawn? When I was back home in New Zealand, we play rugby football. A little different to your type of football here. We don't have all the padding and everything else that goes with it. And we don't stop and have a conference every 2 minutes or every move. We don't do that.
Real football.
It's real. But there came a time in my life when I had to make a stand. I had been chosen to represent a large area in New Zealand. So it was not too bad at rugby football. But when I was chosen, almost immediately the coach said, "You've got to be at practice on Sunday." I said, "Sorry, I won't be."
Write my name on the list of your prayer.
It's a matter of priority in our life. And when it comes to the word of the Lord, we have to make priority for this. And it's hard to sit down and study the Bible. I think perhaps I'm a little fortunate because I have a number of speaking engagements and I have to sit down and study the Word of God. And this motivates me to get into the Word of God and to study it. But if I don't have something to push me, it's a very hard battle to get into the Word of God. But Ezra loved the Word of God. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Because of this, the hand of the Lord was upon him. He could go on and say in chapter 7 and verse 28, I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me. Chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, according to the good hand of our God upon us. And this is in reference to the change that's going to take place in Israel. And then in verse 22, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those that seek him, but his power and his anger are against those who forsake him. There is a need for us to study the Word of God and to have that relationship with God. We can only get to know him as we study his Word. I've had the pleasure of going to Malacañang Palace in the Philippines and going to a prayer breakfast with the president. I know a little bit about the president of the Philippines, but I only know very little bit about her. If I was to be a neighbor or live close by and have some closer relationship, I would know her better. And this is the same in our relationship with God. God has given his word to us to reveal himself to us. We don't need any other book. I don't know, but I think one of the greatest problems that we face in our part of the world when it comes to the scriptures, when somebody is preparing a message, they read all the other books, and the very last book that they read is the scripture. When I teach Bible school, I tell my students, no other books. You're allowed an encyclopedia, a Bible commentary, and a word study book. That's all they're allowed them for Bible school. For most of the studies that I teach, study methods. But there is a tendency for us to really run and see who or what somebody else has written concerning that portion of scripture that we're supposed to teach. That's not what God wants us to do. This is the starting point. This is the finishing point. The Word of God. Chapter 7 and verse 11 says he was learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. This is in the James translation. He knew what the scripture taught and took it and applied it to their life. He was a man not only who loved the word of God, but he was a man of dedication. We read here in chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the word, study the law of the Lord. Set his heart, made it a priority. And he studied. He studied the law of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to be diligent, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. I very seldom do I hear the word diligent in English. Filipinos use it all the time. But we need to be diligent in the study of God's word, to be approved unto God. Secondly, not only did he study the word of God, but he practiced it. You couldn't point a finger at Ezra and say, you're not doing what you're preaching. You know, we joke so often about saying, don't do as I do, but do as I say. It's the wrong way around. Do what I do, because I've studied, and I know what God wants me to do. And we should be an example in our lives as to what God wants us to do. Practice the Word of God. In the Christian church today, generally speaking, you don't want to use the word sin. Well, we say all of sin, but when you come to dealing with issues in people's lives, to tell a person that they've sinned is sort of a taboo subject. And to hear somebody admit that they have sinned against God is almost unheard of. In our 30-something years of serving the Lord in the Philippines, the closest I've got to it in dealing with people whom we have had to discipline within the church, if perhaps I have done something wrong, please understand. That's as close as I can get to saying, somebody saying, I have sinned, please forgive me. We don't want to call sin sin. We need to practice what God teaches. And avoid, to flee from, the temptations of the world today. No excuses. 2 Peter 3:14 says, be diligent to be found of him in peace, spotless and blameless. Most of you don't know me. Probably none of you really know me. But if you knew me, could you look at my life and say that Dave Harvey was a person walking with the Lord? Would my life be spotless and blameless? I'll have to admit to you, right, Eric said, I'm still working on it in my own life. But the scriptures tell us to be diligent to be found of him in peace. In fact, we have a good relationship with God. We're at peace with God, and God has peace. The peace of God is with us. You can't spot us and blame us. First he studied the Word of God, he practiced it, and then he brought it to others. He was diligent. He set his heart to teach the Lord's statutes and ordinances in Israel. How many teachers do we have here this morning? We all need to teach the Word of God. There's a tremendous need out there. When the Lord spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, he told the leaders, the fathers, the parents, to be diligent in teaching their children the statutes and the commandments of God. Ezra says in his book that he fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaties. So they went to the Lord. They had a problem, and they took it to the Lord and asked God to give them direction. And the Lord directed. Again, we find he was a man of excellent judgment. Our time is almost gone. This was recognized by Artaxerxes when he said that the wisdom of your God is in your hand. He was a man of conscience. If we read through the events that took place here, recorded by Ezra, in chapter 9, there's a major problem that has come to light in Israel. And the problem is that the Israeli people had taken wives and husbands from the pagan nations around them. God was very explicit in his direction to them that they were not to marry outside of the lineage of Abraham. What did they do? They looked around and they saw the good-looking girls in this tribe and the good-looking guys over here that were outside of the covenant of God. And they took these people, brought them back into their families, married them, had kids with them. But they also brought back pagan religion. So this came to light that there were many living in sin as far as God was concerned. Did Ezra turn his back on it? Say, well, you know, that's the thing of the past. I understand, because we were in captivity and there were not too many Jews around. simply just brush it under the carpet and say, well, I understand that. He dealt with it as a sin issue. He deplored and opposed sin. Verse 3 says, chapter 9, when I heard about this matter, I tore my garments and my robe and pulled out some of the hair from my head and my beard and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel on account of the unfaithfulness of the exiles gathered to me, and I sat appalled until the evening passed. Everybody knew that Ezra was against the sinful actions of the people of Israel. No apologies given. This is sin. This has to be dealt with. And it was dealt with by Ezra. The people trembled. Unfortunately, today in the world, sin is not really a big issue. But it is a big issue. But God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's clear, we have sinned. If we confess what? Our sin. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from that. Evening out, I arose from my humiliation, even with my garments and my torn robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to the God, to the Lord my God. And I said, oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you. Ezra humiliated himself because of his sin. He showed here his reverence. He bowed down before God and he couldn't look at God. He couldn't lift up his face because he knew people of Israel had sinned against the Holy God. And he confessed his sin. And the people confessed their sin. You know, they not only confessed their sin, but they put away, put aside the wives, the husbands that came from outside the covenant. Ezra was a man of God. He practiced what he preached. And he knew what to preach because he studied God's word. Let's close. Chapter 8, verse 22, that a portion of the verse. We could call this his motto. The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all of those who seek him. But his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. This is the message for us today. The same thing is applicable that was applicable during the reign of King Ahasuerus. Take it to our day, 2005. The truth remains the same, that God is favorably disposed. He will show his blessing on those that seek him. But if we don't seek him, scripture tells us his power and his anger against those who are we seeking or forsaking? I have to answer this question in my own life. You have to answer it in your life. May we be people who experience God's favor, his loving kindness, his mercy, his compassion, because we have set our hearts in the right direction. We have set our hearts to seek him, just as Ezra did, to seek him through the study of his word. If we don't, we forsake him. We have no right to complain to God because of the harsh treatment that we might be experiencing. Because of our sin, because of our forsaking, because of our rebellion, God's anger and his power. Then we be people who seek the honor of the Lord in our life. May we seek Him through His Word. May He bless us as we live in this world today.